Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello, one and all, and welcome into the Poetry Tavern. My name's Charlotte, I'm your host, and this week we're talking about anthropomorphism. Why did I pick this one? You're probably asking. I think I went really sort of, I don't want to say literary last time, but very, you know, specific. And I think anthropomorphism is something that you get taught very early in school. I want to say very early, but I actually think maybe very early in, like, your teens in school. So, it's something I have a bit more familiarity with, but I realised I didn't have any examples in mind of specific poems that used anthropomorphism. So I went digging, and that's sort of what this whole podcast is me researching more about poetry and falling more in love with it every time I do. So yeah, anthropomorphism, for those who might need a refresher, is when you attribute human characteristics to animals. So, you know, saying a cow talked, or why was a cow the first animal I thought of, you ask? I have no idea. Or, like, saying a chicken waved, when these aren't things that animals do, but they're just things that people do. And so you're attributing human characteristics to animals. So let's, without further ado, let's get into it. So the first poem I want to talk about is What the Rattlesnake Said by Rachel Lindsay. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm sort of reading it as Rachel with a V, but I don't know if that's the correct way to pronounce it. Anyway, let's just get into reading the poem and then I'll talk about it afterwards. The moon's a little prairie dog. He shivers through the night. He sits upon his hill and cries for fear that I will bite. The sun's a bronco. He's afraid, like every other thing, and trembles morning, noon, and night, lest I should spring and sting. Now, this isn't a massively long poem, but it is full of interesting things. And I think the first interesting thing to look at is the fact that the poet has chosen to give us the snake's perspective, and in doing so has attributed this consciousness, this process of thought, and maybe even communication, if you were to consider the poem From the Rattlesnake, to this creature, and almost like, I don't know, it sort of gives an eerie feeling because it's considering the way that the creatures that it eats, that it bites, that it kills, would feel. And it almost feels slightly sinister, like, almost like, yeah, this is a feeling that they are going to feel when I attack them. Not, they might feel that when if I hurt them, so I won't. No, I'm going to attack them and they're going to be afraid. And they're not going to know when it's coming and it's going to make them afraid always. It's just, it feels, I don't want to say cheeky because that's too light of a word, but yeah, it feels very, very fraught with, it almost describes this sort of, like, lack of compassion. Yes, I can see how you would think, but that won't stop, like, yes, I can see how you would feel, and I can see you would feel bad, but that does not stop me. And I think, in the case of this creature, like, it's probably right. If it knew how these creatures would feel, it wouldn't stop, because what else is it going to do? Not eat? Like, it's such an interesting perspective to take, because it almost makes the snake come across as evil or villainous in some way, until you think about the reality of the situation, whereas in, it's probably not having these thoughts, and even if it did have these thoughts, this is within its nature, and to it and the natural world, it's not inherently evil, it's just the way it is. One of the other things that's sort of interesting about this is that a lot of the times, like, when people talk about anthropomorphism, it's in the case of like children's books and fables, which are stories about animals with human characteristics meant to teach lessons. But I don't know really what the lesson is here, other than that there is a way that the natural world works. But yeah, it almost reminds me of the Scorpion the Frog story, where it's talking about these two creatures having this, I mean, not discourse, they have this conversation, and the series of events leads to the, you know, the fable's point, which is sometimes things are just in people's nature. Yeah, I don't know, it just sort of reminds me of that. But I guess none of the characters die in this so clearly. Okay, so our next poem is The Violent Cat. It's spelt The Violent, but the N is in brackets, so kind of it's also Violet, which is really fun. By Dan Talapapa McMullen. I hear you outside my winter studio, moaning in the alley below my bedroom window, calling for God, the machine of all magics, all spells written on our bodies, all the right incense of rank summer, the flowers breaking through the confusion. You speak for all of us. By that I mean me. You speak for me, myself, and I. This morning, tomorrow's, and my midnight always now, moan for me. I moan for bridge, field of lavender, the bridge to Olasega, white sand road and men's voices beneath the road flows the sea between two islands. Lavender stream, the spirits of the sea, my lovers. So this poem takes a different approach to anthropomorphism to our first poem, because while in the first poem we are seeing from the perspective of the rattlesnake, in this one we are, while still attributing human characteristics to the cat, we are looking from a human perspective at a cat. And that's sometimes things we do as people, not even just in literary circumstances, like poems or novels or short fiction. We just attribute these characteristics to animals in our everyday life. Because they come from a very human understanding, so the day-to-day, including these things, is very human, and we apply these thoughts to other creatures to help us understand them. But yeah, and I think it puts a level of ability of communication and ability of thought onto this cat, like, that isn't quite achievable by animals, or at least, like, you know, not in the way that people do it. And there's a sense of calling for connection between this creature and whoever the speaker is of the poem. Like, the connection between the two islands. Although, some readings of this poem have discussed it as about the, like, the land bridge, the area of land that connects Samoa and Tonga when they analyse this poem. But I think it could be really interesting as a way of, like, talking about connection as a whole and the connection between man and nature. So yeah, I think it's fun. Ugh, it just is good. I like it. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our episode. Next week we're going to be talking about allegories. I feel like anthropomorphism is often a thing used in allegories. Take Animal Farm, for example. So you get a lot of that. But yeah, so hope you guys join us next week for an episode on allegory poems.